Hey family, thank you so much for joining us here on our YouTube channel. We pray that this sermon touches your heart and changes your life, that you and I would all be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus. And hey, if you want to continue to see more Word like this and help us get this message of truth, this message of Jesus out to a hurting world, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. I want to encourage you to be one of our truth partners. And you can do that by texting truth partner, one word, to 53555 today. And help us get this message of truth out to so many broken people. You and I and the whole world simply need Jesus. We love you. Thank you for being a truth partner. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon. Subscribe. Ring that bell for future notifications. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. So last Sunday, I talked to you, and the Sunday before, I spoke to you about three tools, three weapons that you need, the same three that Jesus had, to defeat the temptations of Satan. Do you remember what they were? Does anybody remember what one of them was, the first one? Solitude, not isolation. When you are offended, Satan will try to isolate you, and then he will want to become your pastor. This is not just in church. This also happens in a marriage. This can happen in a family. And all of you know somebody who doesn't attend a church anymore because they were offended. And the first thing that Satan will get you to do when you're offended is to isolate. So we're not going to isolate. We're going to have what? Solitude, time with Jesus. An hour, 2 hours with the Lord every morning. What? How am I going to be on social media? And be a, you're not. You're going to have to choose. You cannot look at people and Jesus at the same time. You're going to have to choose who is more beautiful. What was the second one? Come on. What was it?
Prayer.
Pray. We're going to spend time with the Lord. We're going to pray. Pray the tabernacle prayer. It's available to you online. On our website, you can go and get it. There's printed ones available in the lobby. We make that available to everybody. I go speak at churches around the nation, and people come to me and go, I'm praying the tabernacle for you. I'm praying. I'm up praying. They're watching. God's touching people. And what was the last one? Come on. The scriptures. Fall in love with the Bible. Memorize scripture. I encourage you all to learn 5 verses. And if you didn't, then learn them this week, okay? This is a cult. I can't believe they even asked me to learn the Bible. Yeah, learn the Bible. How are we going to be on Facebook and learn the Bible? This is crazy. 5 verses. If you learn those 5, get another 5. Get them in your heart. Every time you learn the Bible, you put a piece of Jesus in your heart. Hide His word where? In your heart, not on your phone. Some of y'all got it hidden on your phone. Hide it in your heart. Amen? Why? That you may not sin against who? Against the Lord. When you sin against the Lord. The Bible says when we sin, we nail Him to the cross again afresh. So we don't want to do that. We serve a God that set us free from sin. Come on. How many of you have been set free from sin? Yeah. He whom the Son is set free is free indeed. People say, he didn't say, everybody's still sin. What did Jesus just die for? What, 70% of my sins or 50%? How many did He die for? I thought He died for all of them. He died to set you free. People who say it to you do not know the scriptures. The scriptures over and over and over again tell you, He set you free from sin. Be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage, but be set free. Come on, He set us free. Everybody say, if you're free, say, I'm free. I don't want to be a half a slave. I don't want to be 10% slave, 30%. I want to be free. How many can say you're no longer a slave to sin? Come on, Jesus set you free. How many of you want to, you don't have a master of sin. Come on, can I get an amen about that? That old man is gone. Jesus set us free. And so I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 says, therefore, lay aside all malice. Some of you Some of you are asking God to take things from you. You need to lay it down. Amen. Some things God will not take from you. You have to give it up. Oh my God, we've got to leave now. Some of you are asking God to take things away. You have to give it to him. You have to lay it down. Okay? What does it say? Therefore, lay aside, lay down all malice, all deceit, not some. Okay? All hypocrisy. You know the Hebrew word? You know the Hebrew word for actor is hypocrite? Envy and all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Indeed, you have tasted of the Lord's graces. The Lord's grace, verse, I can't see it, hold on. Coming to him as living stones, verse 4, coming to him as living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. See, we have a physical building in here, but you are living stones built into a spiritual house. This is the church. Okay? A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. What was the job of the priests? To offer sacrifices. That's why when you have to realize you are to Jesus a living stone built into a spiritual house. And when you come, you are to offer living sacrifice. This is why Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The job of the priesthood was sacrifice. This is why we serve. This is why we give. This is why we worship. Even if you're tired. Even if you don't feel like it. Even we give out of sacrifice. Not just because we have tons of money. We give till it costs us. Come on, can I get an amen? Acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ, therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in, anytime you see Zion, it's the church. Behold, I lay in Zion, verse 6, a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he who believes on him by no means will be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And the stone of stumbling, a rock of what? Offense. Let's talk about that. When God speaks to you through his scriptures or through a pastor, or in a vision or a dream. See, because God knows you're under authority. God will use that authority to speak to you. That's why you have to be under the authority of scriptures, the authority of the Lord, and the authority, spiritual authority. Okay? These are the ways that God's going to talk to you. Making a decision because you watched a reel popped up on your Instagram and it didn't confirm the scriptures, your pastors did not agree with it, God didn't speak to you in a vision or dream, but like, oh, that sounds like what I want, and that was a real, and I'm going to move across the country and get in that relationship because I saw. This is not God. This is craziness. And people make decisions like that all the time, and they mess themselves up, okay? Imagine having a child like your son and daughter did that. They didn't talk to you. They just did that. You'd be like, you can't, this is not going to work. Can I get an amen? Let every parent say amen. Okay, so you're God's child. So God doesn't, you don't want that for your child. God don't want that for you. So when the Lord speaks to you and you know that this is what the Lord wants me to do, it's been confirmed. If you have things in your life that are not yielded to God, see, God's a good dad. He's a good dad. I'm going to say that again. He's a good father. He's a good father. He doesn't not care. You got to be careful when you say, see, when you say, that's how you know you've been touched by Satan, because all of a sudden you don't care. Be careful about the things you say you don't care. And when God has called you to do something and you have something in your life that's not yielded, the Lord will become a rock of offense to you. But when God has called you to build something, how many of you God's called you to build something? Okay, marriage, a family, a business, or whatever. When God's called you to build something and you don't have something in your life that's not yielded, you can build. He'll become the cornerstone, which sets all the measurements and everything. It's like tithing. It's like putting God first, getting up in the morning praying. He becomes that cornerstone for you to build. But when you have something in your life that's not yielded, he becomes a rock of offense, meaning he becomes like not a piece of wood of offense or a hill of offense. He becomes a rock. You're not going to wear him down. And he will just like stop it. How many of you ever had God just stop something? I'm the only one. Anybody ever had you trying to do something that you know God wants you to do, but it's just like, you know, you think you can wait, God can wait. Do you know it was an 11-day journey for the children of Israel to get from Egypt to the promised land? And it took them 40 years because they had things in their life they would not surrender. They had idols in their life that they would not let go of. 40, who amongst us can afford to lose 40 years over stubbornness? You know what it's like? It's like I fly a lot, and I take different kids with me. And so I took Alexander with me on this one, and he got pulled aside, and his bag got pulled aside, and I'm like, son, I'm in a hurry. We're trying to get, and he got pulled aside. He goes, I don't know why, you know, I got pulled. And so they pull him aside, and then they open up his bag. They said, "This belonged to you." Yeah, well, and they said, "This you." They open up his water bottle, and they said, "You can't take this. You can't take it." Well, another one. We just said he had a big old thing of toothpaste, like because we, you know, Costco size thing of toothpaste. I said, "We're going for one day." And they're looking at him like, "Is this sure?" And they're showing him, "Do you see the ounces on here? You can't take this." You know, and then he's like, you know. Y'all always buy this big stuff, blah, 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 blah. And so anyway, we're at the TSA counter, and he is being delayed because he's trying to take something on a journey that they said this cannot go with you. And what they do is they take the item and they hold it to you. And they say, you can go on your destiny or you can have this. You have to choose. And how many of you ever been in that moment? Come on. How many of you ever see, Alexander, you're not the only one. And they tell you, you can go on your destiny, but this can't go with you. Now, you can have this. You can take this. You can leave and take this with you. But you're going to miss your destiny. And you have to choose in that moment. Just throw it away. You have to let it go in order to reach your destiny. This is what God does in your life. He becomes a rock of offense. And he says to you, son, daughter, I love you. I have a plan for your life, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. But there's something in your life that cannot go on the journey. And I will detain you. And you're going to have to decide if you want what I have for you or you want that. And you just have to make a decision instantly that this doesn't mean anything compared to what God has for me. How many of you have ever just let something go? Just threw it away. Am I playing a song? Look, listen. This is playing on my phone. I'm a dad of eight. It's crazy. I'm like, what is that song? What is the, what is the worship team playing? And God will bring you to this. And this is very frustrating. But God's got me talking to you about this out of love, because some of you know some things that God wants to do in your life. And you can't seem to understand why God's not doing it. And you feel detained. And it's because you're trying to negotiate with God. And you're trying to convince God to take this thing or person. Some of you are trying to take people. And God is like, no. Mm-mm. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with the water bottle or the toothpaste. It's just not going with you. It can't go where you're going. Now, if you stay, it's fine. But you'll miss what I have for you. It's not that the person may be bad. It's not that the thing may be bad. It's just not what I... It cannot go where I'm taking you. So you have to choose. And God will become a rock of offense in your life. And it's like kicking a boulder. And he will let you waste your 30s. And your 40s. And your 50s. And your 60s. Because he's a good dad. He does not graduate you to the next grade just because you're too old to be in the class. No. You're going to learn this lesson. This one, you're going to learn. How many people know what it's like to have God detain you? And you start, and you know what's so frustrating when you're at the TSA line that holds you on, is you see other people going. and you know what you start to do in your mind? You start to say, I was way ahead of that guy. They was way back in line, and here they are now ahead of me. Choose. Your lack of decision is delaying your destiny. And allow the Lord to usher you into the things he has for you. So either he is a green light, cornerstone, or a red light, rock of offense. Does that help anybody? Read this, memorize this verse, Psalms 92, verse 13. Says those that are planted, everybody say planted. Those that are planted, not visiting, just visiting, not potted, but those that are what? Planted. Where? In the house of the Lord. Shall what? In the courts of our God. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord. So, Andrew and Agnes. Agnes has been in my life 20 some years. Andrew's been a part of the church 20 something years. And when we started, where did we start? We started at the North Lane Inn off 694 in Boone 20 years ago. Me, him, two other people. And we started the North Lane Inn. And with Mama Gray, Mama Giwa, Ryan over here 20 years ago. And we were there, and when we left there, where did God take the church? To Brooklyn Park. We was in Brooklyn Park on the corner of Brookdale and Xerxes, that little building, across from Bill's Super Ad and Gino's Pizza. And we were there, and where did we go when we left? Where did God take the church then? Maple Grove High School. So you were at the North Lane, and then you went to Brooklyn Park, and then you went to the high school, and then where did God take the church? Then he took it to Spring Lake Park. Then we went to Spring Lake Park, and we was making our own sound panels and everything because we didn't have any money. And then where did we go from there? Then we went to this building. And you've been part of all of that. So everywhere the church went, you went. Why? Because he was planted in the house. So wherever the house went, he went. you have to be careful that you are planted in the house and not planted in people. Because if you're planted in people, when people leave, you'll go with them. And some people follow people only to not be planted anywhere. If you follow people, you'll be hurt all the days of your life. Do not plant in people. This cannot be your church because you have a friend. And then if my friend leaves, I'm leaving. You were never planted in the house. You were planted in people. You need to be planted in the house of the Lord to flourish. Why are you here? You can't be here for friends. A church growth strategy that's taught in America is to try to get people friends. And if they have friends, they'll stay a part of your church. That's a church growth strategy. Oh, get people close to Jesus. That's all you got to do is get them close to the Lord. The best Christians are the ones who love Jesus the most. I'm not trying to make you part of our church. I'm not trying to get you to sign up for anything. Trying to get you closer to the Lord. Fill out a visitor card or don't. There was no visitor card at the resurrection. And we fill it out as you want. I'm not against it. I'm just saying that cannot be the heartbeat. The heartbeat has to be Christ and Him crucified. I am trying to get you to pray and read the Bible. And to spend time with Him. That's why I keep talking about Him. Because He's the darling of heaven. You don't want to be planted in people. You want to be planted in Jesus. Can I get an amen about that? Is that helping anybody? All the days of your life. And I talked last Sunday about how Christ picks your church. Christ sets those. He sets the solitary in a home to bring out those that are bound with chains. That the Lord does that. Only people who are in the house get set free from chains. Read that. And then Matthew 5, 23 through 27 says, if you have a problem with your brother and sister, leave your gift at the altar. And then reconcile with your brother and sister, and then Christ will receive you. This is the heart of God. This is why when we take communion, you can't have an offense towards anybody and take communion. What are you supposed to do? The Bible says go to who? Who? The person, not anybody else. If you go to anybody else, you're in sin. Because you're supposed to go to that person. Make it right. Everybody say, make it right. And then you come back and God will receive you. Do you think God wants worship when your heart is not right? Who amongst us wants a child who's secretly angry at a sibling, but acting like everything's okay? And can't you as a parent tell? Come on, parents. Can't you tell? How many of you grew up with siblings? How many of you, they upset you? How many of you, they're still your sibling? I got two sisters in all the world. And my sister may have wrote you a bad check. She may have done something to you. She may have lied on you. But if you hit her again, I'm going to drop my car over top of you because that's my sister. Come on, amen. That's your family. This is where the Bible says in Colossians, be patient with the body of believers. God does not work on His people quickly. He does not do it. Do you know last Sunday was the 1-year anniversary that I rolled out the tabernacle prayer to our staff? A year ago last Sunday. And do you know, as of this moment, I still don't have all of them praying it. Do you know, to our leaders, I rolled it out about 3 months later, and to this day, even though it hasn't been a year, I still don't have all our leaders praying it. Do you know, as a pastor, I still don't have all of my staff and leaders spending an hour or two with Jesus every day. Because it's not something I can demand. I demand Chris love you. How can you do that? It has to come out of the heart. And so it's not even been a year for our church. It's been like 6 months, 7 months. So if you look at the kids ministry and the teen ministry, they're not going to be there yet. It's going to take some time. And it's not something I can just hire. It's not a money thing. I can hire somebody to watch kids. I cannot hire somebody. I can't pay somebody enough to love Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, that has to come out of their heart. Like, they have to buy the oil so that they have such an anointing when they touch a child on their head and anoint them with oil, healing flows through their body. That comes through Jesus, not a certain amount of paycheck. I can tell the worship team to pray and all of them spend time with Jesus. Doesn't mean it's instantly going to do it. I don't know if you know this or not. How many of you tell your kids to do things and they don't do it? Yeah, y'all can't get your congregation to obey. So what do you have? I don't want to be the parent that just yells at everybody. You have to be patient with God's people. God does not move his people quickly in a lot of ways. It's like you are a tree. You can't see a tree grow. Like, go watch it. I think I see it. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the Bible says, those that are planted, we are referred to as trees. It takes time. And what God is doing in our church, like, some of you are just starting memorizing the Bible. Some of you, this is the first year of your life that you've started praying. Like, really getting up and praying, first time in your life. This is why Colossians 3 says, be patient with your brothers and sisters. Come on, can I get an amen about that? Be patient. Like, we're like our academy. We're launching, you know, our academy 3 years ago. My Lord, I mean, it is a fight. I mean, it's a fight from the pit of hell to birth something that stands up for truth and righteousness. And now they got, even in the Maple Grove schools and whatnot in our districts here, wanting the kids, going to force the kids to go through training, you know, about LGBTQ training and all this train and whatnot. Your kids, if they're in the public school system. And you better put the word of God in your child. You better put the word of God in your child, or get your child into the academy or a Christian school. You know, drive a bike if you got to do it to get your kid right. Can I get an amen about it? There is nothing more important than our kids knowing Jesus. And I'm not attacking people. It's demonic. It is a demonic attack from the pit of hell against our children. And now is the time as parents to stand up in your family for truth and make sure you write it on the heart of your child. I'm not talking to you about politics. I'm talking to you about teaching your child the Bible and hiding it in their heart and getting them so fortified. See, you cannot stop external pressure. You can't stop it. It's like a can, like a soda can. If I had a soda can in my hand right now, the reason I can't crush it in my hand is because the pressure on the inside, the stuff on the inside, is greater than the pressure on the outside. But if the can is empty, I can crush it because there's nothing on the inside. You got to put so much word and God inside of your child. that they can go into any environment and survive. Not because you stop what's around them, but because of what you put in them. In them. And let me tell you right now, just pulling your kid out of a school, if you don't teach them still the Word of God, is a mistake. And God's going to judge you for it as a parent. You need to take the time and write it on the heart and the life of your child. Stop all this social media stuff. Help me, Lord. I want you to see that you are, let me say it different. How much would you pay for your favorite social media platform? If there was a monthly subscription, what would you pay for it? $10 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month, no more than $2 a month. What would you pay for Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat? What would you pay monthly for that platform? Well, listen to me. Let's just do the math on it. Let's just run a social experiment. If you make $25 an hour, hopefully you make more than that. But let's say you only make $25 an hour. That's what your time is worth, $25 an hour. And you're on that platform 3 hours a day times 30 days a month. That's $2,250 a month that you're paying to be on that app. The app is free when you download it because you're paying for it with your life. You're paying for it with your time. You are the product. And that's why they sell you. You are the product. I'm only on it 3 hours, yeah. And if you only make $25 an hour, you're paying $2,250 for Facebook a month. Some of you are paying $10,000 a month for that social media platform based on what you make. And it puts it in perspective. I looked at, if you're on your phone 5 hours a day, I'm 45. If I live to be 90, I'm only five and a half hours a day. I'll spend 14 years of my remaining years looking at that phone. 14 years. Google it right now. The average time a teenager is on social media, it's 8 hours and 39 minutes a day. Not on social media, on their phone. 8 hours and 39 minutes a day. 8 hours and 39 minutes a day. Google it. You don't believe me. It'll be the first thing pop up. 8 hours and 39 minutes. 8 hours and 39 minutes. And some of you are in your 50s and your 60s, your 70s, and you're giving the most beautiful years of your life. And when you stand before God one day, and he goes, what did you do with your latter years that were supposed to be greater? I guarantee you, when you thought of your life, you never thought, you know what I want to do when I grow up? Scroll all day. You know what I want to do when I'm older? You know what I want to do with the remaining 30 years of my life, Jesus? I want to give half of them to a social media platform. What a sad story to stand before the throne. I'm not saying not to be on social media. What I'm saying is you need to figure out how to get a good deal on social media. You need to make sure that you do not compromise the call of God on your life based on that phone. And worse off, your children are watching you. We need to spend more time with the Lord, more time with Jesus, so that we could be like him. And less like the people we watch on social media. You want to be who you see. Come on. You want to be who you see. You're going to have to decide who is more beautiful to you. And as church, we have to find a way, guys, to have more unity in the body of Christ. You know what the last thing Jesus prayed is that we would be one. As the Father and I are one. I was reading this letter from Charles Wesley. How many of you have heard of Charles Wesley? Charles Wesley, he's a theologian, father of the faith. He was writing a letter to George Whitefield, who was another theologian, father of the faith. And they grew up together. They were really close. All their life grew up together. And when they became theologians, they started to develop these theological differences. And they stopped being in each other's life. Over the theological differences, they started becoming like rivals. And so Charles Wesley writes this letter to George Whitefield, and in the letter he makes this statement, and it just wrecked me. He makes this statement. He says, "I feel that we loved each other more when we knew less." I feel like we loved each other more when we knew less. Be careful just running after knowledge and just running after information. Lest it cause you to love less the body of Christ, the family of God, and your own family. I'm not saying that we compromise, nor am I promoting spiritual ignorance. But what I'm saying is we cannot forfeit the thing that God cares about the most, which is unity. And in order for my marriage to survive, Joanne and I have to bend. And we have to surrender certain preferences for the sake of the marriage. She likes watching dog movies. Any dog movie come out, she says, "Oh, we gotta watch that with the whole family. Everybody's gonna love it. We gotta see that dog movie." Oh my God. You know what it costs me to go to the movies? Do you know what it costs? It's all the same. Some dog got lost or something, and then it came back. It's the same thing over with a different dog, a different kid. It's the same. $250 later. But she likes it. She likes it. So we gotta go see it. It's gonna be amazing. You gotta bend. Your preferences have to bend for the sake of the union. And this is what happens in the body of Christ. We can't get to the point where we know so much we love the church less. Your knowledge should not drive you away from the community of Christ. It should make us fall more in love with each other, that we would be one. Everybody say, "Lord, help us be one as you are one." This is the heart of God for the church, that we would be one people, that we wouldn't let all these little preferences and things drive us away from each other, but that we would be one in Christ. The Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "I claim to know nothing except Christ and him crucified." Everybody say Christ and him crucified. This is what Paul, now you got to realize when Paul wrote this, Paul memorized the Torah. Paul was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. And he was an amazing philosopher and Pharisee, and he understood the feasts of Israel's, and all of that knowledge, where did it lead him? To kill the darlings of heaven. That's what I'm saying. You can have knowledge, and it doesn't mean you love the Lord. The Lord is meek and lowly, meekness and lowliness. It's not pride and arrogance. People talk, I'm spending time with it, but I'm like, but you're proud and arrogant. That's not the fruit of the Lord. Meek, the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. When the meek are actually given the earth, they're going to be shocked. They're like, yeah, that's right. I'm meek and I should. No, they're going to be like, what? They're going to be like, what? Me? That's the heart of someone who's meek and lowly. When the meek and lowly actually inherit the earth, they'll be shocked. They'll be like, I can't believe this. I don't even feel like I deserve this. This is the people who spend time with Jesus, meek and lowly. This is how we ought to be one to another. Not proud and arrogant. Can I get an amen about that? And to be patient one with another. You know, I'm sorry that we don't move at the pace you want to move. Or we don't do everything the way you think it ought to be done, when you think it ought to be done, and whatnot. But we're following the Lord, not people. Can I get an amen about that? And be patient with the body of Christ. Somebody was complaining the other day. Andrew told me, I said, what's wrong with them? They said, oh, miscommunication. I said, miscommunication? I said, do they work at a company? He said, yeah. I said, you should ask them, is there miscommunication at your company? Is everybody at the company paid? Yeah. And there's still miscommunication? This is insanity. Yeah, this is a volunteer organization. There's going to be miscommunication at times. Have grace for people. The people are back there doing, the guys running these cameras and whatnot, they work at like banks and companies. They don't run cameras. You understand what I'm saying? Professionally. Like, have grace for the body of Christ. Some of the people back there watching kids are like business owners. And they're like, oh, I'm going to take my day to watch your child so you can sit in service, but I'm not like a professional daycare person. Come on, can I get an amen? They're just the people out there who are greeting you and waving at you while it's snowing. They have companies. They're not like a professional waver at an event. They're doing it because they love the Lord. And you're going to judge them? You understand what I'm saying? How many of you have ever been to a place where those people are actually paid and they don't smile? They're like, you there, you there. Like, okay. It's like, have grace for the body of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Like, be loving and patient one with another. This is the heart of the Lord for people. Well, the lyrics were wrong. Okay. Close your eyes and just sing to Jesus. Like, how did the church survive for 2,000 years without that? I don't know. I'm like, what is happening? It's you know, we have to get back to our heart being the right thing. That's why I don't even know that I ever want to announce another guest speaker in our church. I don't know. I'm praying about it. Because I don't want you to come for them. I want you to come for the Lord. It doesn't matter who's preaching. Jesus is there. You understand what I'm saying? Like, imagine going to a church for a year and you never knew who was going to preach. And you went to church for one solid year only to meet him. I'm talking about purifying your motives. Why am I singing? Why do I bring a Bible? Why do I lift my hands? Why, like, my motives, my heart in giving? Why do I give to God? Why do I honor the scriptures? We've got to get back to some core basics when it comes to things, and not entertainment. You either count the minutes or you count the moments. I don't know about you, but I want moments. Because when the moments happen, you forget about the minutes. And Paul says, I claim to know nothing except Christ and him what? Crucified. This is an intellectual person. He goes, I'm choosing to know nothing save among you except Christ and him crucified. That means that he allowed the Holy Spirit to take a scalpel of subtraction to his heart. Subtraction. So many of us want a relationship with Jesus because of we think God is going to add to our life. And he is so many wonderful things. But I'm finding the closer you get to him, the more he takes away. He just takes things that are not important. He's like, this isn't important and you don't need that. And why are you worried about this? And this person, you don't need them. And this over here that you thought you couldn't live without, you don't need them. I'm going to show you because you're going to, and you go, what am I left with? He goes, me. And all of a sudden you realize it's more than enough. Because sometimes you don't realize God is all you need till God's all you got. And you realize that he is the true bread of heaven. That he becomes the reason we gather. That he becomes the reason we worship. That the cross becomes the emblem and anthem and pulse of our faith. And not who's preaching and the songs and the light. I can do it. I can turn on. We can make a show. I can do it. I know how to do it. I can fill this room. Y'all wouldn't get a seat if that's what it's about. If that's what we're going to glory in. Or we can glory in his presence. And leave talking about, I felt the moisture of God during that song, and not, I only like it when that person sings because they're so gifted. This is where we have to choose who's more beautiful. What's more precious? We need to let the Lord do surgery on our hearts until we can say, we know nothing except Christ and him crucified. Why are you a believer? Christ and him crucified. Why do you give? Christ and him crucified. Why do you serve? Christ and him crucified. How come you can forgive people who hurt you? Christ and him crucified. He is everything. How come you can have a good attitude today? Christ and him crucified. I am crucified with Christ. And we want the Lord to add to us. And many times he does, but most of the time he's wanting to reduce himself to one thing, reduce us to one thing, him. And some of you are in that season now, reducing, 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 until you're left with the pearl. The pearl of great price. And you're willing to sell it all for him. Give it all for him. That means that Jesus has to be crucified. We can't have this new age Jesus where we don't acknowledge the cross. Because a cross without Jesus is dead religion. And you can't just preach the cross without Jesus because then you preach works. And that doesn't work. Try it. Try to get free by not trying to sin. It's never going to work. Who amongst us can free ourselves? Who amongst us can open the eyes of our own understanding? Who amongst us can set ourselves free from sin and put joy in your heart and peace in your heart and contentment in your heart? None of us. I'm through trying to impress people. Paul says, I do not come to you with persuasive, enticing words. So many people pick churches based on the preacher and how well they preach, and there's no presence in the room. Sermons do not save people or heal them or deliver them. I was listening to Francis Chan this week. He made a statement that wrecked me. He said, can't we just get to the place where we can just read the scriptures and obey them? And then he made this statement. He said, or do we have to hear a sermon on everything to obey it? Like, can't we just open the Bible and it say, like, don't hate your neighbor and, like, just obey it? Or do we have to hear, like, a 50-minute sermon? It's like I told Nicholas this week. I said, can you just clean your room? Can you just do that? And I love him. He's sitting back over there. I said, can you just clean your room, or do I have to, like, preach a sermon and have, like, illustrations and points and humor and PowerPoint presentations and graphs and stats? You know, like, statistically, you know, this percentage of kids don't clean their room and they end up in this situation because they, like, do I have to do that? Or can you just, like, hear your dad say, hey, man, can you clean your room? And, like, just do it out of honor and love. Not just him, all of them. Like, can we just read the Bible and it say things like, hey, love one another and be patient one to another and forgive one another as I have graciously forgiven you, and just do that without having somebody has to preach, like, a series? Come on, can I get an amen about it? Like, does somebody have to preach a 12-week series on forgiveness? Or can you just, like, forgive because Christ forgave you? This is what people have fallen in love with sermon. If anybody should be defending sermons, I guess it's me. But I'm just trying to tell you, sermons didn't die on that cross for you. Jesus did. It's his presence that we're after. And I just want us as a church, before we close, I am challenging all of us to just let the scriptures have authority in your life. Some of you listen to Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan can get you in a bathtub with freezing water at 6 a.m. for 30 minutes because you watched a 30-second reel about it and you went and spent $2,000 on it, and now you're in there doing it. I mean, he's more of a pastor to you than I am, I guess. I'm trying to tell you is, like, some of you are being easily led, except in your spiritual life, which is the most important part of your life. And you need to allow the scriptures to move you, to challenge you, and not have to hear eloquent speech and amazing sermons in order to let your heart be moved. The scriptures themselves should stir us to be more like him. And let sermons come along and confirm or affirm what the scriptures have already been speaking to your heart. And let them be confirmation and not just revelation. Can I get a big amen about that? Some of you are brand new to your faith, but some of us have been walking with the Lord for some time. And we have fallen in love with sermons more than we've fallen in love with the scriptures. You can listen to 30 hours of sermons and you won't read their Bible for 30 minutes. This is a misalignment of love. Jesus didn't die on the cross to give you YouTube sermons. He died to give you the word. In the beginning was John 1:1. Come on, y'all memorizing John with me? Some of you remember memorizing John? What? Whole chapter. This is a cult. Pastor's asking me to learn a chapter of the Bible. This is insanity. How am I going to be on social media for 8 hours and read the Bible? Yeah, learn the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. For he was there from the beginning. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Get the Word in your heart. So what is Pastor talking about? Prayer. What is he talking about? Scriptures. What is he talking about? Spending time with Jesus, solitude. This is the life of a believer. I'd rather you do that than volunteer in this house. If you have to choose, be with him. I'll trust him to figure it out. Be with him. Be with him. And be patient with your brothers and sisters. Be slow to speak and quick to hear. Be quick to forgive. How many of you want your family to be good at forgiving?
Yeah, well, God's going to let you practice it.
What? I mean, I thought I was good. I don't really want to have to try.
Yeah, you have to forgive. Joanne has to forgive me a lot. Forgive. Be quick to forgive. Be patient.
Because you got little siblings. And then with these kids, weren't those kids so beautiful on this stage? Come on, weren't they beautiful, all of them? This week, listen now, this week, they're your priority. Teach them the word.
You talk to them about Jesus.
Some of you, when you start talking to them, go, that doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? Yeah, let me, and you realize that you're not a good Bible teacher, and you got to like, how do I say this so they can get it? It's, anybody ever had your kids ask you questions, and you go, I've never had to explain this. I sound silly. You're explaining it with things they don't understand.
And you're like, I got to figure this out. You know, God will help you be a good Bible teacher to your children.
Talk to them. Talk to them about the garden. Talk to them about his arrest and his trials. Talk to them about how he was wrongly imprisoned. How he was wrongly accused. And how he acted. How he didn't get angry and lash out. And he had forgiveness. And how they beat him, and his crown of thorns, and the nail prints, and the pierced side, and the 39 stripes on his back. The 39 stripes on his back, if they beat him 40 times, if you were beaten 40 times and lived, you were free. So they beat our Savior 39. And if you Google right now, how many categories of diseases are known to men? The Mayo Clinic will tell you there's 39 categories of disease. Every stripe on his back was for our healing. Every stripe. Talk to them about that. Talk to them about how he carried his own cross and he died of suffocation. That not one body in his bone was broken to fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah. Talk to them about it. That when he looked through time and eternity, he saw you. Talk to them about how he could have called angels to rescue him, and he did not. Talk to them about the cross. Their faith has to be rooted in this, the resurrection, the cross. This is why we sing. This is why mom and dad pray. This is why. Talk to them about that. How he didn't even have his own grave. And it was borrowed by Joseph of Arimathea. And talked to them about how he was crucified and how he went in the grave and how his own disciples were scared and terrified because when they took Jesus, they didn't go with Jesus. You serve a God that will voluntarily walk into suffering. And if you want to be with Jesus, you're going to have to go into suffering with him. The biggest mistake the disciples made was when he went, they didn't go with him. When they took Jesus, they did not go. And every time you refuse to go with Jesus into suffering, you will be left with anxiety and fear. Fear gripped their heart. When Jesus volunteers to go into suffering, go with him. Just go with him. And they took him. And he went and he set the captives free. And how all the disciples were in hiding. And how Joseph of Arimathea, and they went, and the Bible says they begged for the body of Christ. They begged for Jesus. Even though there's problems with the church, and there's problems
and it's broken and it's bleeding and it's wounded and it's not beautiful and it's been beat up and it's weak and it cannot help itself. There ought to be people who love Jesus enough to beg for the body of Christ. When the body is wounded and not perfect, do you still love it? It wasn't this perfect Jesus. It was a wounded, discarded, dead Jesus. But the Bible says they begged for the body of Christ. You have to get to the place that you love him even when he doesn't look beautiful. You have to love the church when it's the things that are not beautiful. People make mistakes. You have to love it and believe God to resurrect it and to change it. And then talk to them about the beautiful resurrection and how Jesus got out the grave for you. And he ever liveth and ever reigneth, and he hears your prayers. And God hears all of our prayers regardless of our age. Teach them these things. Write it on their heart. And impart it to the next generation, this glorious gospel. And him crucified. Did you get something out of this today? Come on, can you give Jesus a praise?
Hey, I know that this sermon blessed your heart. I hope it's been an encouragement to you to become more like Jesus. That's our heart and that's our prayer. He's the X on the treasure map. He is the topic of heaven. Everything is all about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, get up in the morning, spend time with him, pray, seek his heart, seek his face, and see what he will do in your life. Before you go, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider being a truth partner. And like I mentioned earlier, it reminds me of Aquila and Priscilla, who would help the Apostle Paul spread the message of truth. A couple, a married couple, would just invest to spread the message of truth to so many hurting people. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is truth. And you can be a truth partner today by simply texting truth partner, one word, to 53555. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the channel. Click that little bell for notifications. But thank you for your generosity. So many of you give online, you give throughout the week, all over the nation. And I just want to say thank you so much. We're using this resource to continue to get this message of truth out to so many broken and hurting people. And we want to be a blessing to you. And so let us know how we can pray for you. You know, comment below. There's a lot of resources on my website that are available to you. But we want you to know how much we love you. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for being a truth partner. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon.